In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. Glad to be with you today. We do this broadcast live. Again, we're looking at Romans 8. Romans 8. That the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, that Abba is our Father, that we can call God Daddy, Abba. I take you to the Jordan River today, where Jesus finds John the Baptist, and the Baptist is baptizing. And when Jesus gets into that river, the Word of God spoke audibly, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I want to tell you that in Christ Jesus, we are beloved sons and daughters of God, that the Lord calls us his children. I told you yesterday from John's epistle, "Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall later be has not yet come to light, but we know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him, for we shall see him," the Lord, "as he is." Know your dignity today as a child of God. Know your dignity today as the Son of the Father in Christ, with Jesus, through Jesus. You are truly adopted. And Jesus took out those adoption papers in his precious blood, in the blood of Christ. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And I want to say something that's very important. First of all, I've heard people throw this around. All of us are God's children. That is not true. I'm sorry. That is not true. Everybody on the earth is not a child of God. Through creation, everyone is a creature of God. But to as many as believed in him, he gave the power to become children of God. You see, I want to tell you, Hitler was not a child of God. Stalin was not a child of God. And I want to tell you that people who do not follow Jesus and give Jesus their life, they are not children of God. To as many as believed in him, he gave the power to become children of God. So it takes faith to become a child of God. Faith and baptism. I'm telling you, this is real. But people throw it around, you know, we're all God's children. That's not true. That is not true. Only in, with, and through Jesus Christ do we become children of God. And I don't like to hear people say we're all alike. We all pray to God. I'm going to tell you, what God do you pray to? You know what I'm saying? Everybody prays to God, but what God do you pray to? You see, I pray to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because I, by God's grace, am a son of God. And the Father calls me son, and I can call the Father Abba, Daddy. The Father called you son if you believe in Jesus, and you can call the Father Daddy, Abba. This is real, and it is real because Jesus makes it real, that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are the children of God, then we are heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, providing that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. Today we heard a reading from 2 Corinthians, and I, I took that reading and I started to think about it. And this reading is St. Paul saying that he rejoices in his weakness. He rejoices in his weakness. Why? Because when he is weak, then he says he is most strong. Important to know that when we are weak and we turn to the Lord, we are most strong. Let me read it for you. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees in me or hears from me, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations that has been given to me. A thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. But the Lord said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. For gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And people have tried to say, you know, what is this thorn in the flesh that St. Paul had? Was he blind? Well, in the letter to the Galatians, he says, you would give your eyes up for me. We don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. You know, some people said that he had epilepsy. We don't know what it is. We can guess, and we can make a lot of guesses as we read the epistles, but we really don't know what it is. But in his weakness, he is most strong. And I'm going to tell you, he says he glories in his weakness. I'm going to tell you, I don't know anyone who glories in their weakness. You know, we have to put up with the weakness of the flesh. Not many people glory in their weakness, but St. Paul did, because when he was most weak, then he was most strong. People have said to me, you know, you do your best work when you're so weak. You do your best work then. I'm going to tell you, whether I do or whether I don't, I have no idea. But I do know it is a reality that there is no one that's strong. It is a reality that no one is strong. No one is strong. Even the people that look strong, they are not strong. They're as weak as you are. We all have our Achilles heel. We all have that area of our life where we are weak. We all have it. And it is that area that should bring us to Christ. It is that area that should bring us to Jesus. You see, what happens, though, when we fall or when we sin, we run away from God rather than run toward God, run toward the cross, run toward the confessional. We run away from God when we fall, when we sin. I don't think Paul's weakness was a sin, but I'm talking about our weakness. Your weakness is a certain sin. And when you sin, you run away from God because you think you're not worthy. Let me tell you, you'll never be worthy. When you sin, you run toward God. You run toward the cross. You run toward the confessional. You ask for mercy. You ask for the gift of repentance. You are not strong. Neither am I strong. I don't even want to pretend to be strong. I have no strength within me. The only strength that's in me is Jesus and my faith in him. And you know what? Sometimes that is shaky. But if in my weakness, he is most strong. You have to deal with your weakness. Every one of us, as I said, is weak. You have to deal with your weakness. And you have to bring it to God, not to run away from it, to bring it to God. Some people are weak sexually, and they have to bring that to God. And if they bring that to God, he can fix it. I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, but I am saying if you keep on bringing that weakness to God, you know, he will fix it. He knows how to fix it. Some people are weak when it comes to stealing. Nobody knows that they steal, but they go into a store and they take something that doesn't belong to them. Then they feel guilty. I'm going to tell you, bring that to God. Bring that to the confessional. Be subject to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a thief, and I steal things. And Lord, I want to change, and I can't change. I can't change. Please, Lord, Jesus, help me in this area. This is an area that you'd be surprised that a lot of people are into. They go into stores, and my question to them when they come into the office, this not confession, I say to them, do you need that stuff? I never needed it. It's just the thrill that I get when I take something that doesn't belong to me, and I know it's wrong. It's wrong. Being a thief is wrong, like it or not. So when we do things like that, we need to bring it to the Lord. And then we need to bring it to confession. And we need to speak it out. You see, what the enemy loves is darkness. When something is in the dark, it can really do a job on you. It's like a big boulder, and it's in the earth. When you move the boulder, you find all these bugs and all this junk underneath it. But when the light strikes, they start running away. We want to bring our darkness to the light. We want the light, who is God, is light, and in him there is no darkness. We want to bring it to the Lord. We want to bring it to confession. We want to say it because we need to say it. People say, well, I'm embarrassed. But you know what? Too bad. Too bad that you're embarrassed. Better that you fix it now than go to hell, okay? Better that you fix it now by the grace of God and go to hell. And you say, but I've been doing this for years. Well, I'm going to tell you, 1 year is as a thousand, 1 day is as a thousand years with God. And it's only a day that you've been doing it in God's calendar. Maybe not in your calendar. Some people's weakness might be gambling. You know, that's one of my weaknesses, which means I don't gamble. Oh, I love it. I'll tell you the truth. I love doing that. If it were up to me, I would buy some tickets today and I would scratch them. But you know what? I don't. I don't do that. Because I know the Lord doesn't want me to do that. He wants me to depend upon him and not upon scratch tickets. Let me just tell you what happened months ago. I think I told you, but I'll tell you again. I was leaving the hilltop, and I was having a bad day, and I said, well, I'm going to buy some scratch tickets. That's what I said. Then the Lord spoke to me. He said, you can do that, but I won't provide for you if you do that. I said, I'm not buying any scratch tickets today or ever. I'm not going to buy any scratch tickets today or ever. Why? I want the provision of God. I don't want to provide for myself. The Lord knows how to provide for me. I want the provision of God. Gambling might be your weakness, and you should not be gambling. And so what do? You bring it to the Lord, and you bring it to confession. And you just say, I don't want to do this anymore. I need the help of God. I need grace, 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 grace. We cannot do it on our own willpower. Drinking might be your problem. And no one knows you're a drunk. You're a closet drinker. And no one knows you're a closet drinker. But you know what? I'm going to tell you a secret. They know. People know. People know. And you know what? Being a drunk doesn't help you. Being a drunk doesn't help you. You need to go to meetings. You need to go to confession. You need to at least confess that darkness. You need to go to a person and say, hold me up for downness, because I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Okay, we do the things we don't want to do, St. Paul said in the 7th chapter to the Romans, because sin is at work within us. So whatever your weakness is, bring it to the Lord. Whatever your weakness is, don't be afraid of it. Bring it to the Lord. Maybe your weakness is gossip. And, you know, gossip is terrible. I'm going to tell you something. One of the saints gave us this example. He said, take a pillow that's filled with feathers and go outside out from your window and shake them and let the feathers all fly out. He says, now go try to get them back. Gossip, once it's out, you cannot get it back. It's like feathers flying away. Better to keep your mouth quiet. Better to keep your mouth quiet than to gossip about people. To gossip about their personhood. It's wrong. Absolutely wrong. And you know what? I'm saying this to the church also. Gossip is wrong. It is wrong to defile a person's name. It is wrong to let people know that somebody has sinned, and they really didn't sin. It's wrong. You can destroy a person's reputation, you know? So, you know, when people are caught in sin and you want to expose it, there's no problem. But I think there is a big problem to destroy people's reputations. God tells us that in the Ten Commandments. I only have Jesus, and I only have my reputation. I don't have anything else. I've decided to give it all up. I only have Jesus, and I only have my reputation. I'm not telling you I'm a saint. I never say that because it's not true. But I am telling you, if people defame my reputation, if people do that, they are going to have to answer to God himself. If I defame someone's reputation, I am going to have to answer to God himself. It is not my job to defame anyone. It is my job to build people up, not to tear them down. Defaming someone's life is evil. It's the work of the devil. You know, and why do we do things like that? We like stepping on people's heads. Why? Because it makes us feel big, that we're taller than they are. Listen, you leave your mouth quiet. Don't gossip. Gossip is evil. It's not good. It never was good. It never will be good. Gossip is evil. It never was good, and it never will be good. If you can't build up a person, then shut your mouth. Close it. Close it. Lock your lips, because gossip is evil. I'm going to tell you, they gossiped about Jesus. They gossiped about Jesus. Where do they gossip about Jesus? They called him a wine bibber, a drunk, a friend of sinners, even Beelzebub. That's what they said about Jesus. They had nothing better to do but to gossip about Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He only did good. Jesus, the Lord, true God and true man, only did good. But the Pharisees gossiped against him. They called him a drunkard, someone who entertained sinners and tax collectors. Well, you know what? He did entertain sinners and tax collectors because he called them out of their sin. So I reckon that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Already we have the Holy Spirit in us, who is the first fruit of our redemption. Already the Spirit of God reigns in us. already the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. If you are a son of God, if you are a believer, if you have given your life to Christ, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, lives in you, and lives in me. That's a real thing. Let's hear Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit, calling on the Spirit, also helps our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. These groanings could be literal groanings. They'd say when John Paul II used to pray after Mass, he'd be groaning. But again, these groanings can be praying in the Spirit himself, praying in tongues. And let me read what it says in Jude 19. But beloved, build up yourselves in the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes, that the Holy Spirit knows how to pray according to the will of God. And we should be praying. We should be praying often in the Spirit. Listen, I tell you, build yourself up by praying in the Holy Spirit. That is a gift God wants to give everybody. I remember Sister Rita once said to me, she was a contemplative nun. She said, oh, Tommy, she says, I don't need that gift. So I said to her, Sister Rita, you don't need that gift? I said, let me ask you a question. She said, sure. I said, do you need to pray better? She said, of course. I said, then you need that gift. That's all I said. I didn't fight with her, but the Spirit of God started to work in her heart. Do you need to pray better? Of course. Then pray in the Holy Spirit, because he prays according to the will of God. Do that in your private devotions. Do that often. I tell you, who doesn't like praying in the Spirit? I tell you, the devil doesn't like it when you pray in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you another thing the devil doesn't like. The devil hates our Blessed Mother. Oh, Mamma Mia. He hates our Blessed Mother. I was at a place where we were asking the intercession of Mary. Oh, Mamma Mia, the words that came out of this person's mouth, calling Mary, our Blessed Mother, every miserable name, every swear word under the sun, until the priest commanded that person be silenced in the name of Jesus. That the devil hates us praying in tongues. And I'm going to tell you, the devil hates our Blessed Mother because she gave birth to Christ Jesus, our only Savior, because she is the disciple who not only hears the Word of God, but does it. She heard the Word of God in Nazareth. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. She heard the Word of God in Bethlehem, that the child to be born would be of the house of David. She heard the word of God at Cana when she said, do whatever he tells you to. She heard the word of God, for she was under the cross. Neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother. She heard the word of God because on the day of Pentecost, they were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Yes, we remember what that woman said. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that gave you suck. But Jesus said, more blessed is the person who does the will of God, who hears the word of God and does it. That's Mary. She always heard the word of God and she did it. We ask the intercession today of our Blessed Mother that we would hear the Word of God, that God would help us to pray in the Spirit, that we would know that we are children of God, and that we would let go of all of our vices. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now, and at the hour of our death. Amen. The most important times in our life happen to be now and at the hour of our death. Mary, Mother of God, Mother Most Holy, assumed into heaven, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Listen, I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God. Pray that God would open more doors for me to speak the Word of God. Pray that the Lord would strengthen me in my weakness, that I would be strong. Pray that the Lord would just bless me so that I can be a blessing to others. Let me tell you, when I am blessed, I bring blessing to others. It's really true. I don't keep it to myself. I never have, and I never will, by the grace of God. When God blesses me with something, I use it for His people. I use it for His people. That's the way we're supposed to do it. When I am blessed in an area, be it anything, it could be physical, it could be spiritual, it could be psychological, whatever God blesses me with, I try to use it for God's people, that God's people would be blessed because I have been blessed. Listen, need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We're $17,000 short, and please help us. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Oh, protect them, Lord, on their motorcycles. Protect them, Lord. Don't let anything happen to them. Please, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Again, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. You are loved with an everlasting love. The Lord is with you. The Lord is for you. Pray in the Spirit. Pray often in the Spirit. Pray in union with Mary, the Mother of Jesus, knowing that God works all things together for good to those who love Him. And that's what we'll be looking at on Monday, that God works all things together for the good to those who love Him, who have been called according to His plan. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.